This is RSBNB Update, episode 526, recorded Friday, July 17th, 2015, Magical Force. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. Sitting in with Earth and myself this week is Bistro, or Mr. Bistro from RSBNB Informer.
That would be me.
Hello, and welcome back.
I'm glad to be back.
That's good.
And so, Shane.
And how is our friend Earth doing?
How can you get the date right when you're starting off the pre-show, or when you're starting off the show, but in the end, when we're recording the title, it takes you like 6 tries to get it right?
This is because this is a very taxing experience.
That doesn't answer my question.
It's a very taxing experience.
At the beginning, Shane has nothing on his mind, but at the end, he has like 90 minutes to an hour and a half of pure knowledge that comes from us.
Pure knowledge.
And let's remember that some co-hosts provide better knowledge than other co-hosts.
Wow. A little passive aggressive there.
Well, you're up there. You're up there. I mean, who can argue with the knowledge of up
there?
Where
am I?
You're in the top echelon. How can you argue with the knowledge of the earth?
All right.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, as you can tell, I'm stalling. I'm just stalling for time right now because
such a silver tongue.
Silver tongue? Never heard that one before.
Do you live under a rock?
Well, when it comes to expressions, yes, but...
This is true. All right. Anyway.
Stalling for time, because raids, and as you all probably know, I'm not a combat person. And neither is Earth.
I'm not either. Well,
so
who could we get to help us with that, Shane?
And that is the lovingly Mr. Bistro. So
yeah.
Lovingly?
Yeah, he loves what he's doing here, and he loves talking about RuneScape, and he loves writing about RuneScape.
I do.
He first became known to us many years ago. I remember him as Scream Truth, but anyways, raids.
Even before that.
I'm sorry. Well, you can inform
no,
us.
No, no.
Raids. Raids. Let's talk about raids. The Gobi homeworld.
Yeah.
Liberation of Mazcab. You know, that sounds like something out of Harry Potter a bit, maybe. Yes?
I don't know. It just sounds like they had a dog, like, do a turn on the keyboard really quick, and then they went with it. Probably added in a vowel or two.
But it cost you $250 each time you add a vowel. Anyways, so we got 2 raid bosses this time with the first batch that we can fight, and that is Beastmaster Durzag and Yakamaru. Sounds like we're creating the World War II Axis powers here, aren't we? Well, if... Durzag, that sounds German almost. And Yakamaru sounds Japanese.
Are you George Bush with your Axis of Evil?
Well, no, we actually called it the Axis in World War II.
Shane, you're going a little too far into this one.
Yeah.
And, that's not the first thing you guys thought of when you read the names?
No.
No, I thought of Jagex being like, how can we not sound like Blizzard, but still pull off raids?
All right, so let's start with Durzag. Well, actually, let's get it out of the way first. You need 10 people, and you build this group through the grouping system. So, okay, high-level combat, Beastmaster Durzag. Tell us how Beastmaster Durzag works, Mr. Bistro.
Well, I want to, before I even get started, make a little bit of a correction. You do not need 10 people. It's just, if you're doing it for your first time, you're going to want 10 people. It's a really different boss fight, and it's extremely refreshing compared to everything else in RuneScape. You do start in the group of 10, and the leader of the group will talk to the little... What are they called?
Goby.
Gobies. The little yeah. Goby in the middle of the ring. And that will start all these prisoners escaping and causing a riot. And believe me, when you're trying to click on the people you're trying to fight and they're running around screaming for help, it makes it a little bit difficult. They're not really helping you so much, but...
Wait, hold on. So there are people running around screaming for help and you're just shooting them?
No, you're not shooting them. You're trying to kill the air roots that are coming out and the chargers that come out of four different areas. So they're coming out from each direction. And the very beginning of the kill, you're going to need to kill a certain amount of air roots and keep the chargers off until the pets of the Beastmaster start to spawn. And the best method of attack is to kill all but two of them and then take down... not the pets.
Okay.
The actual air roots. You want to keep two all of right. them alive until you kill the first pet, and then you kill those two air roots. And this makes sure that the least amount of damage is being taken for your team as a whole. Because once that first pet dies, the Beastmaster is going to spawn, and the charger cages around the entire ring will fill up with the charger creatures. And at this point, this is when you need to know who the tanks are for your team, because you're going to need three tanks. You're going to need a tank for the two pets, and you're going to need a tank for the Beastmaster. And you're going to pretty much clear out all the cages that line the actual boss pit of the chargers, and you're going to do one side, and then the tanks that are pretty much carrying the high-hitting Beastmaster and the pets, you're going to switch sides, and then you're going to kill all the chargers on the opposite side. Again, this is going to be to reduce damage. You're going to need to disarm these like pig bombs that go off every once in a while. That's one of his special attacks. Yep. They'll deal 2,000 damage. They are pigs. Pigs with little bombs strapped to them.
Why?
So they can run around and chase you. I don't know.
Are they angry about being made into bacon? Like, what's the reasoning behind this?
Well, Jagex? You realize that a couple years ago, Jagex did put out that quest for the bacon.
Well, yeah, that was what
they,
I was
they clearly have some sort of, like, thing for pigs. Anyway.
So there's, like, no discernible reason, it just is.
There's probably some lore behind it, but I haven't read into it yet.
Alright. Pig bombs. Interesting.
Pig bombs. So... while you're killing these pets, two things are going to happen. That bomb attack or cages are going to come down, and they will either have chargers in them or they're going to trap you in them. And your teammates can unlock you if you get trapped in there, or you'll be able to anticipate in freedom to get out of them, I believe.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the tanks, they're still going to make sure that those guys... the bosses are being taken care of and out of the way. So the DPS crew, they can come in on the boss when they need to, and they can go unlock all the cages and take out the chargers when they need to, and they can disarm the bombs. Eventually, the Beastmaster is going to get down in health. The pets, you're going to try and kill them at the same time. And then... it's pretty much a trade-off between three tanks, which is what I would recommend, and they're going to need to have shields and use certain shield abilities and provoke off of each other, because at this point the Beastmaster can almost one-hit you, if not one-hit you. So the three of them will trade off, and everyone else will be DPSing from a range. So this isn't extremely dangerous if everyone is doing their job correctly, because not that much damage is going to be taken anymore. And the last part of the kill goes pretty quickly. And you can get 2 loot from Beastmaster every 48 hours, or you can get 1 from him and 1 from Yakamaru.
Okay.
So that's how that boss fight goes.
So it sounds like it's all, the details are in the tank.
Yeah, the details in the tank. You have plenty of time to discuss who's going to do what. And at the end of the day, the jobs that you have to do are really cut and dry. It's, you're either doing DPS, taking care of the chargers and unlocking cages a lot of the time, or you're the one that's pretty much running the bosses around and keeping them off everybody else.
Right. And, you know, I was looking at your YouTube video that you did on this, and for the vast majority of what you were doing, it did look like you were one of the DPSers. Is that correct?
Yes, I was. And it wasn't until a kill afterwards where we didn't record that I went ahead and brought my malevolent shield or malevolent shield.
Malevolent.
Malevolent.
I have never been able to pronounce that one.
Oh,
but,
yay, someone who can't pronounce in addition to me. That's good.
Yeah, it wasn't until that one where I brought the shield in an attempt to do the last phase, the pretty much DPS switching in tanks. But it's mostly because I didn't have the range gear I needed. This is definitely a range-intensive boss, whether
right.
it's through mage or its range. And I'd almost say that for all these raid bosses, there isn't a whole lot of room for doing those melee attacks, because you really can't afford the time to run around more than you need to.
Yes.
And that's just a drawback from melee.
Yeah, and I mean, when you think about it, I'd guess that the tanks are wearing melee armor?
Yes, the tanks, they're going to be the ones in close range. They're going to be wearing that melee armor.
Okay, so that, there's that part of the combat triangle satisfied then.
Even though they're doing tanking, I wouldn't recommend them to wear Tetsu. I would highly recommend that they would wear the tier 90 DPS armor with the shield. And eventually the raid armor that they would get, because they need to do enough damage as well, especially when they're carrying the pets around, because everyone's going to be focusing on something different, and it's their job to make sure that health is starting to get down so they can get the kills faster.
So why do we want to wear the tier 90 power armor over the tier 85 tank armor?
Mostly because you're not going to be able to do as much damage, and when a DPS moment comes up, especially for Yakamaru, you need to use it, because if you're not doing DPS at the right time, you're going to miss that window of opportunity, and it can lead to someone dying.
All right. Well,
basically, you just want to kill it really fast.
Well, right. That's not necessarily true either. You just want to get it to a certain point in health really fast. You don't want it to slowly work its way down. It needs to get from one stage to another, pretty much like turning on a switch. It has to happen quickly.
Okay. And for anyone wondering, you can find the YouTube videos at youtube.com/dailydungeon. That is Mr. Bistro's channel where he has...
Is there a link to that in the show notes?
Yes, there will be a link
which
to the
you
show
can
notes.
Find at update.rsbnb.com.
Well done. Well done.
Do I not get praised on my plugging ability?
Very good. I set that up, and I did half, and you did the other half. Right on.
It's like we're a team.
High five.
But yeah.
You're in Canada.
For Yakamaru,
yeah, let's talk about this one.
There's a strategy to that one.
Is it broken?
I can go into it a little bit. It's not broken anymore, but it was.
Oh.
Yep. On the day of release, there was a lot of hate going around. Some people were getting pretty salty because they didn't get the first drop, so I'm not going to mention any names.
The first drops?
Well, the first kills and the first drops, because...
Oh, like they were the very first to kill it?
Yeah. Okay. when it comes to bossing, does anyone know, like, the first person that comes to mind for, like, 90% of the people that pay attention to it?
Isn't that Wex?
It's probably Wooks, yeah. He got the first kill for Beastmaster. Yeah, he and his group got the first kill for Beastmaster, but they didn't get the kill for Yakamaru because it broke. And some other people were lucky because it broke, and then they got the first kill. So there's no changing that.
Let me guess, this is a reason to start a riot and cancel our RuneScape membership.
I think you're a little too cynical, Shane. You need to cool yourself down a little bit.
And fling all kinds of hate at Jagex, right?
No, I think you just need to calm yourself down.
No, I think this is just someone being too salty and too high of themselves.
I agree. Okay. All right, let's talk about Yakamaru.
Okay, well, Yakamaru... before you do this boss, I highly recommend you get the reputation required in order to bank in between raid bosses. Because if you don't do that, you're coming through Beastmaster, your first actual kill, you're not going to be able to kill Yakamaru. This one is definitely more difficult, it's definitely mage intensive, and you really have to be paying attention to who is poisoned, because that poisoned person is going to need to be in melee distance of Yakamaru when they are poisoned. And you're going to need to DPS that thing like crazy in order to save that person, otherwise they'll pretty much die. The special attacks, one of the most popular ones that everyone's probably heard of right now is Sharknado.
Oh my god.
That one is where you're going to need to pretty much... It's going to throw a bunch of sharks everywhere. And if you move too early, the sharks will follow you, and they can do a ton of damage, but it's really something easy to just kind of avoid. As soon as they shoot out, you should just be able to move and surge away. So that's not too big of a problem. It's more of the poison that gets a lot of people, and the jellyfish, if the jellyfish aren't taken care of and killed or stunned, they can kill people. But one thing that I really like is that this boss fight really does give people a reason to use healing abilities and call out that they're healing.
Oh,
so the team knows who is healing and who will be up next to heal. And that's not something that I've seen done in boss fighting before. And with the Saren spells and prayers that will be coming out next month, I believe, we're going to see a lot more of that style of playing for these high bosses.
Thank you.
Take place. Now, especially for the third boss when it comes out, because it's going to be tougher than Yakamaru. I don't think there's a question about that one. And those healing... abilities are really going to be necessary.
All right.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I have on it.
All right. So you didn't kill Yakamaru, so it wouldn't be fair to ask you how to kill Yakamaru then.
Yeah, I could only give a rundown of what I do know about it. So
yeah, that's fine. I mean, let's just be honest here. Anybody who is wanting to do the raids update will be well versed in the methods of combat and probably have a general overview of what's going on before we go in. I assume eventually once you do make a run through and get the kill, you will have a video on your channel detailing that.
Yeah, you bet.
All right. And once again, that's youtube.com/dailydungeon, Mr. Bistro's channel, where you can find that.
So our show notes at our update at rsbnb.com.
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, Shane, the channel's been Don Trackers for over a year.
Oh, okay. I was just going based on the link that you have in your forum profile.
Oh, okay. Wow, I haven't changed that.
It still goes to the right place.
Well, that's good. Okay.
Anyways, rewards. Level 90 tank armor. One for each class. Primeval for magic, Terralith for melee, and Tempest for ranged. Set effects for each of them, and the set effect comes with the superior version, aka the Akto version, and
which is clearly the better version.
Yes,
by far.
What is the general set effect that you get?
The set effect is a bonus to damage while wearing a shield when you're using that armor.
And that is, of course, right in line with our tanking experience here at Raids.
Yep.
And I think it's also interesting to mention that there is no armor stat difference between the superior and non-superior version here, which, I mean, is an okay thing if you don't want to be working up to superior, but the superior version, just like all the other versions of superior armor out there, are repairable rather than degradable, as the non-superior version is. Let's just run down some stats here. For the plate, the chest plate, for all three pieces, you get 565 armor and an 840 life point boost. Well, if you're wearing also the helmet, you will... You will receive a life point boost of 420 with an armor value of 491. And for the leg pieces in each set, you will receive a life point boost of 630 and an armor value of 540. Then, of course, we also got the boots and the gloves, which gives minor bonuses, but, of course, as with any kind of piece of armor, the main three pieces that give your best bonuses are the legs, the chest, and the top, or the head.
And as for any like high tier armor, it really depends on what you're killing, if this is the armor that you want or not, because at this high of a level of armor, you should really only be using it for stuff that's going to be making you over a couple mil every hour, because otherwise the repair costs won't. It'll just eat too much of your profit away.
Do we know how much it costs to repair?
I haven't looked at that. Assuming that you are repairing it with 99 smithing, and you boost up with a Dwarven Stout, it should be a reasonable price.
Because the repair currency is the techie. TC, techie, I don't know, that you get from the raid currency. So you will be using that to repair. And you bring up an interesting point. Do you really need this armor if you're just, you know, doing combat, Queen Black Dragon, you know, even Araxor? I mean, maybe Araxor, but the other ones? I don't know.
No. You know, it really does come down to how... how worth it is it to get that kill per hour. I did God Wars the other day, and I had someone outside the door, and they're just like, why aren't you instancing? And I'm just like, because I don't want to pay 200k. And they're like, it spawns 15 seconds faster. And I'm just like, I don't want to pay 200k. Because God Wars really doesn't make that much money. It was...
Yeah.
So, you just need to kind of weigh what you're willing to put in and what you think you're going to get out of it. Because as for raids, you're going to get some good stuff. I mean, those tradable abilities, they're selling pretty good right now.
Yes, let's actually talk about that. Unless there's anything else you want to mention.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so for 15,000 points, or was it 25,000? I don't remember. I get it mixed up. You can purchase one of these ability books, and you can sell it on the Grand Exchange, and anyone can buy these. And the prices are really, really large. The default start price was 15 million, and as of today, we're up to 17.7 million on the GE.
You know, if you're really wanting to be good at raids, especially before this third one comes out, these are abilities that you're going to want to have anyway.
Yeah, because there's four of them, well, four groups. First one being Corruption Blast, which is a basic magic ability, deals damage over 6 seconds, and will periodically attempt to jump to nearby targetable enemies. Corruption Shot is the same for ranged. Then you have Storm Shards and Shatter, which is Constitution abilities, Basic and Threshold. Caster applies up to 10 Storm Shard stacks on a target, then unleashes them all at once with Shatter. Then this ignores the damage cap and can hit upwards of 30,000 life points. Multiple players can apply Storm Shards to a single target, and that Shatter will use up all stacks currently applied.
This makes me so happy. I'm so glad that RuneScape has stacks in it. Even more complicated combat. At least it's towards the top, as long as it stays up there.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, I guess you can just continue applying these Storm Shard stacks as after each cooldown, right?
Yeah.
As in, it's not only, like, each person cannot just apply one stack of Storm Shards.
No, I don't think you can do that all at once, no.
Right. So, you fire it, cool down.
It's an accumulated thing over time, and then it's a timed DPS attack from the team.
Right. Okay.
Which really goes into how these boss fights go anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, I wonder if this would have any uses elsewhere.
So we don't I think it might have uses in Virago, but other than that, I can't really. Maybe Kalfight King, maybe.
Because up to 30,000 life points, that's a lot.
I know that those new magic abilities will just wreck in Kalfight King for those minions when they spawn the two rounds. It's going to be good.
And we also got Surging Onslaught, which is a Constitution Ultimate that grows more damaging the longer it's channeled at an increasingly debilitating cost to the caster. And something interesting with this one, if you leave it running, you can actually kill yourself, because once your adrenaline is gone, it will start sapping away your life points.
No, it won't. It will. Yeah, it will. It will drain your overload first.
Oh, okay.
When people lose their overload, that's when they would stop the attack, unless they are at full health and in no immediate danger. So if you were a mage and you're using this ability, you could be not in the DPS range or the boss attack range, and you could let yourself go down in that health. And then other people could do that ice heal ability to heal you back up as you turn that ability off, so you maximize your DPS.
Oh, so it will not kill you.
It will kill you,
okay.
But you...
It is possible.
Yeah, it's possible, okay. But if you're smart and you're watching your overload go away, you'd give it maybe a tick or two, and then you'd take it off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just saying. So these are definitely something you want to pick up. So I imagine you'd say you'd pick up the armor or the abilities before the armor.
I would probably pick up the abilities first, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because if you're using the level 90 power armor, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, all right. Well, I think that's all I wanted to ask you about the raids part of this update. Or if anything else you'd like to ask Mr. Bistro pertaining to this?
I do not have anything.
Yeah, there were many parts of this that just went whoosh, straight away.
Yep.
You just got to put yourself in that situation and it'll all make sense.
I don't know about that. I had enough trouble with Araxor and it took me long enough to get the QBD down to a science.
You can do
anyways,
it,
anyways, I
I'll
don't know
on,
about
I'll
that.
Take you on a ride along. You can join my raid group.
I don't know about that. we'll talk later. But there are some other things that you can do on MazCab, such as the Nemi Forest and Supply Escort little daily thing. The Supply Escort is exactly as it is. You take supplies from one settlement to another, except it enables a PvP mode. So you do have the potential to be killed by another player while doing this. I saw multiple people when I was doing my supply run didn't get hurt. I didn't hurt anyone. So it seemed there was a mutual respect there.
For now, yeah.
For now. For now. That's right. but something I would like to point out is that I did get 48,000 farming XP from this.
Oh boy, farming!
Drop in the bucket for you, Shane.
That's right, actually. You are entirely right on that. But farming and herblore were the two options. I don't know if this changes daily, but it's definitely something to consider doing for those two skills. If it changes, of course, I'm sure we'll hear about it by the time this goes out. And now the forest. The forest is an interesting thing you can do daily as well. Basically, this is a forest that is, in a way, the enchanted forest, let's say. I don't know where that's from. I just said that. Where's the enchanted forest from?
I'm sorry, you're just saying forced. Not yes. Forest. You're saying forced.
That
I
is
find that amusing.
That is a group of trees.
A forced? I'm sorry, continue.
Anyways, each day the configuration of this force changes. And there are various
See?
Things you can do in the force to have to gain experience in either dungeoneering, prayer, or farming. There's 9 things to do in total, and each one of these gives 5 reputation points, which you level up and can be used at various or can be used to gain various perks around this world. Now, one thing we didn't touch on, Mr. Bistro, is how many reputation points do you get for killing the raid boss?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, these are ways you can raise your reputation. There's also a taskmaster that gives out small tasks in the eastern part that you can do and gain 5 to 10 reputation for each one. And I want to say it caps out at 3,500 reputation, I believe. Is that right? Yes? No?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just looked at the rewards for it, so.
All right. And I would also like to just end off on this by saying that there is now an NPC in RuneScape named Tim.
Yay. You know, you kind of think, if we just went to a different planet, how come everything is still called a forest? Or beasts? Or how come they speak the same language?
Yeah, well, it's magic. Right?
I don't know. I'm just trying to coax you to say forest again.
Okay. Well, anyway, so we got the raids. We got the supply escort minigame. We got the Nemi Forest, which changes daily. And also some tasks out east that you can do to raise your reputation. And that is the first batch of the MazCab updates. Hopefully you guys are enjoying yourselves there. If anything, it's very nice to go see the forest because that's just the way I say it.
Well, anyway, honestly, this is one of my favorite updates of the year.
All right. I love forests.
Okay, that's one of your favorite updates, and I just would like to say I'd like to see more things in game, like the Nemi Forest, that change, you know, daily, and provide that kind of, you know, exploration feeling where you have to find things and use your skills in it. I quite like the idea of the Nemi Forest. All right.
I'm trying to be as serious as I can here.
I know, I know. I hate to rain on you guys' parade, but let's talk about the tweaks and fixes now, shall we?
Yes.
We should run into the forest for cover from the rain.
What was this about running into the forest?
To take cover from the rain that you're about to pour upon us.
All right. Well, one of the first things I'd like to mention in the patch notes is the death swiftness damage over time effect will now scale correctly to ability damage.
Cool.
I think that's good.
I haven't tried it.
Yeah, I mean, the death swiftness ability over time has been something that's always been there, but it hasn't been that useful. So hopefully this will make it a bit more useful, because everyone knows the main reason you use death swiftness is just, you know, for the boost to your ranged attacks. But this might provide a more tactical option. Quake now deals 219% damage to its main target.
As opposed to...
I think it was like 100-something before.
Okay.
Well, Quake was completely useless before.
Yeah, so this will make it on par with the other good ones, I believe. Meteor Strike now deals AoE damage to nearby opponents, which is something I've wondered since the very beginning. Why is that ability not AoE? And I think anytime we get more AoE in the game, it's better.
Yes.
Yay.
Bonfire Life Point Boost now has a buff timer courtesy of Rune Labs.
I thought that existed for a long time.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Well, it was really nice because, I don't know, it was really easy to keep track of it right next to my auras.
Yeah, yeah. And, great. You know, for anybody who's starting out bossing, you can definitely use the bonfires and help you out raise your life point limit. So this is good for that, to know how much exact time you got left.
Yeah, you know you don't boss if you don't do your bonfire.
With the truth cut down from the force.
All right. The grouping systems interface has been reworked to make it easier to navigate. Finally, I say. Finally. I actually had a look at this just for it, and this is what the grouping system looked like when it first came out. They did the first batch of fixes last year. They did another batch a few weeks ago. And finally we get the fix that actually makes it usable. So good job, Jeff.
There is still a problem.
Oh,
and that is,
what's
there's
that?
Too many dang chats. In order to talk in the grouping system, I think it requires, what, 3 or 4 slashes now?
It'd be 4, because 3 is guest clan chat.
Hold on, let me take 15 minutes to type okay.
You're supposed to use tabs, the tabs.
Why would I use those? It's so inconvenient.
Okay. Yeah, but I agree. I use the slashes when I type, and that's resulted in some messages going places they weren't supposed to go. But anyways... Amulet of Souls got a buff, which is the Hydrix jewelry. This is actually very, very good. Chance of increased soul split healing has been increased. So the way it worked before is that if you had one of these amulets on, you would have a 10% chance of soul split healing more. That has been buffed to 50%.
That's a little overpowered.
Yeah, it is. But... and it basically means each tick you take, you have a yes or no chance of healing extra, which, I mean... okay, I don't think we need that much, but it's nice.
If you're doing soul split, even without that, during a DPS phase, you're going to be at full health. So this just makes it pretty crazy.
Yeah. But it does give, you know, a reason to use the Amulet of Souls, because if I remember from my analysis when Hydrix came out, it was just too expensive to, you know, invest in Hydrix when there were other cheaper options available.
I'm not a fan of these protection prayers and deflect curses increase here.
So you also get a 10% increase on protection prayers and deflects. So it now blocks 60% of incoming damage rather than 50%.
That's a little too much hand-holding, JX. Come on, we can take it.
Yeah, and I mean, it was less when EOC first came out, but it got buffed, and I mean... It got buffed again, so...
But yeah, this Hydrix rebalancing, if you guys didn't get your Death Ring at the beginning of this week, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I did not, but that's okay. Like, like I said, we are casual combat people. We do the odd Slayer task and maybe the odd fun boss run, but that's about it. So,
yeah.
All right.
This Hydrix rebalancing thing is probably really important too, because some of the drops you do get Hydrix stuff.
So that's why they did that this week.
Yeah, they don't really even sell very well on the GE, so this was pretty much important.
Yep. And, you know, there's a whole dev blog of this here by, let's see, ModPy about Hydrix. So Reaper necklaces, the Death Touch bracelet, the Ring of Death, and, of course, the one we were just talking about, the Amulet of Souls, all have been buffed and made more. Were they? Now, I don't know if, like, obviously the Amulet of Souls is overpowered, but the other ones, you think they're overpowered now?
I don't think they were overpowered, because otherwise they would have been selling a lot more.
Okay.
I think that they are now overpowered. I think they went a little too far.
Yeah.
Maybe they will go ahead and bring that right to a happy medium sometime in the future.
Hopefully, but who knows?
At least
then. I mean, I was talking to you about this before we began. We obviously need some kind of running beta server for combat changes and whatnot, because, like, we got one boss that's broken, and now we got a bunch of overpowered things in game. Jagex obviously feels the need that they need to test this stuff on us, so why don't we just test it on a group of, you know, closed beta testers? Sign them to NDA so they can play content before it's out and whatnot, and, you know, let's just reduce the amount of changes that need to be made.
But effort.
Yeah, that's true. All right, anything else in the patch notes before we move on?
Nope.
I don't have anything.
All righty. Well, folks, that was fun, and now we get to talk about the beach party events.
Oh, man, just what I've been waiting for.
Yeah, you've been waiting for some beach ball rolling, eh?
Have I ever?
Yeah. What about bodybuilder posing?
The show is silent.
Yeah, and I mean, okay, these are good for a little bit, but it's the summer beach party. It feels like the novelty is kind of worn off. So.
No, I think
there was novelty.
I think the bodybuilding thing was an extension of the... Because bodybuilding is agility, right?
Sure.
Does stuff for agility?
I don't know.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's an extension of the World Event 3, which was an extension of the Elf City. So I don't think anyone really cares.
All right. Though, I mean, it does allow people who, you know, can't do that in real life the ability to do it in-game, right?
Don't justify it, Shane.
Well, I'm just trying to provide a balance
here.
That's
all. Just don't do it.
Why not?
Because it's like wasted development time. Ugh.
I don't know whose idea was it to have a summer event, but it's a sandy crater now, at least.
I wonder if it has crabs.
It has ducks.
No, I would approve of the update if it was Heim crabs in there.
Oh yeah, Heim crabs would work. Anyways, alright. As you can tell, that's a bit of a downer for us. Bond pricing for RuneFest has been released. One RuneFest ticket will cost you 35 bonds. And one night in a hotel will cost you 55 bonds. So if you wanted to, say, spend your hotel and your RuneFest ticket all on bonds, that would cost you a grand total of 145 bonds. Which, let's just check what the current bond price is at, because, I mean, obviously everyone's going to be
doing
this, right?
10 or 11 mil now?
9.2.
Oh, that's actually good, because...
Yeah.
I'm working on that right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm actually trying to get enough for two tickets, two hotel room stays, and to do, because JKX mentioned in the forums that they're working with people and like air travel.
Yeah.
With bonds as well. So
yeah, you can do that. That's going to cost a lot. I'd like to know what those would be.
But yeah, but so
that'd be $1.3 billion for your hotel and RuneFest ticket, by the way.
I'll just do raids.
All right. Well, maybe you could fund one of our ways there. That'd be good.
I promise, Shane, if I go there, I will talk to some mods for you.
Oh, yeah, that's not a problem. I know lots of people who go to RuneFest. Lots of people.
Okay.
Yep. All right. And then, you know, that's the reason why I don't need to go.
Well, there you go.
All right.
Just
send
just
your
watch
minions,
it on Twitch.
And if anything goes wrong, just say they went rogue and they weren't authorized to say that, right?
All
he just laughs. He just laughs, everyone.
We got the behind-the-scenes video for what they're working on currently with Rune Labs, Halloween, update on the Saren quest, and oddly, JMod's answering the Rune Labs question, if you can believe it or not.
Did they really name it The Light Within?
Yes, they did, actually.
They
really
couldn't
lazy.
Have done a little bit different. I mean, I'm pretty sure if you change those words around, then you just get their quest from, what, 2006?
Yeah, Within the Light.
I think so. That was what they were trying to do, but
indeed, that is what
it's
they're trying
like
to do.
Not. No,
it's
I
not
know.
Working
it,
for
I know
me.
It's what they. Yeah, it's what they were trying to do, but it's not very good.
Yeah, and I mean it is a Rune Labs update, so that is to be.
We
expected.
All know how you feel about that, Shane.
Oh yeah, if there's no update next week, we're gonna have a Rune Labs retrospective.
Oh dear.
But quest requirements will be access to Priftinus, obviously. 80-ish, level 80-ish on the skill front. They didn't say which skills, so that could be scary. Fate of the Gods, the World Wakes, and meeting and making history quests will be required. And this should come out sometime in August.
It says 80-ish skills. I'm willing to bet the 80 is for runecrafting.
Hmm. Interesting. Why do you say that?
Because Saren spells, I'm willing to bet, because of how the spells are kind of laid out, will involve something with the soul, including putting the soul of Saren back together.
Yep. And we're not getting a soul altar this year. It's not happening, unfortunately.
But, yeah, I'm pretty sure soul runes are going to be the runes of choice for these new spells.
Well, obviously, they're completely useless right now. All right. Anything else in RS news that we'd like to talk about this week?
I got
If you guys haven't said goodbye yet, goodbye, Mod Chriselle. You have made combat.
Yeah,
amazing.
That's right. We should say something about that. Even though I think it was last week that he left. Was this last week?
But I do appreciate all of his work.
And
from
I mean,
X all the way up. So,
and if there was no Chriselle, obviously we wouldn't have had, you know, certain aspects of the evolution of combat, and maybe no evolution of combat at all. Because I know he was fairly involved with the actual implementation of it. Because if I remember correctly, he got told to improve combat, and this is what him and his people came up with.
Yeah, and the apple didn't fall far from the tree, because apparently he's with Mod MMG in his new company now.
Yep. That's true. All right. Thank you, Chris L., for everything. I love Evolution of Combat, and it has made Slayer so much more fun for me.
Questions.
Yes, indeed. Let's move on to questions. Earth, did you have anything you want to say about combat and Chris L.?
I did not.
All right. Well, on to questions we go. We got two audio questions for you guys this week. The first one would be from Parnassius.
G'day, Shane and Earth. Parnassius here. I've just completed the survey Jagex put up, and there were a few interesting options on it. My question to you is based around that survey. If you could pick just one major update from it, would you rather see Menafos opened, the new continent unlocked, or perhaps the elite skill developed? Or maybe there was something else on it that really piqued your interest. Love to hear your thoughts on it, and as always, happy RuneScaping.
All Menafos. Right. All right, so that's what you're going with.
Yep.
What do you think we'll get there? I mean, will it be like
sand.
A... Well, obviously, but... It's not going to be as overpowered as Pristina's. Like, what will there be to do?
I hope and pray to God not.
Yeah. That's right. Okay.
If Menafos opens, I'm pretty sure we'd get a whole bunch more desert quests, which I've never been a fan of. So I'm sorry, but I can't put my vote behind Menafos.
All right.
Well, I've just been waiting for that for a very long time. It's the new Pristina's.
All right, fair enough. I can get behind that. And I mean, there's something to be said about, you know, a mark on the map that says Menafos, but you can't see what's inside, right?
It's very spoopy.
Yes, I agree. And that just kind of sends chills down your spine, eh?
That is what spoopy things do.
Yes.
As for me, I'd probably put my vote behind the next continent. And that's mostly because the current continent is getting so clustered with random crap that I can't, like, walk from one town to another without running into, like, 20 different things.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something that, when I started playing, was just... what you did to get from town to town, and that's why people teleported, because there wasn't stuff there anymore. Now there's stuff everywhere, and they need places to put new content.
Yep. Yeah, and you can kind of get the sense of a wider area to traverse in that way, and it makes it feel as though you're actually moving between places, whereas now it's just, you know, one constant thing, so I get that as well. For me, this is a hard one. This is very hard. I'm bouncing back and forth between three of them currently.
All three choices?
Well, three choices that
were given?
That I would like to make. You were asked for five, but I got three top ones.
Oh, oops.
Surface construction? The new game client? And? Shapeshifting? Or rite of passage?
Oh, new game client for sure.
Yeah, surface construction would be cool, but I'm not really sure how that would work. So
see, the reason I put surface construction up there is because in March of 2004, shortly after RS2 came out, Andrew wrote a manifesto about what they wanted to do, and construction was on this list, as was, you know, various aspects of surface construction. So I think surface construction would be the one, but it's tied with the new game client. But at the same time, I also wouldn't mind seeing Rite of Passage, aka the Big Bird quest, or shapeshifting.
I think they need to double down on construction and just fix construction.
Yes, please.
Like, not just Surface World. They need to update. Like, there is wrong stuff in that code still.
Yeah, and I mean, they said that, well, we're not going to be updating construction. They've actually said this now. We're not going to be updating the playground house as it is. If it is, we're just going to add more rooms, or we're going to go surface construction.
Which is, like, ass backwards. It's wrong.
What about Fate of the Gods 2?
I think that's too early. I think they're moving these 5th Age quests along a little bit too quickly.
6th Age.
6th Age.
Yeah. What do you think, Earth? Fate of the Gods 2, or...?
I want Menafos.
All right. Well, there's our answer to that question. For me, it's either surface construction or the new game client. We'll say Big Bird for another day.
Yes, please.
Alrighty, thank you, Parnassius. Question is from the RR Man.
Hey guys, we're just chucking a quick and easy one this weekend. So they've got these elite skills, and I heard this brainwave the other day. What do you reckon? They could make a livestock skill an elite skill. It could be summoning, farming, and construction. Shane, did I just blow your mind? Now, these other elite skills they're talking about, such as necromancy, stuff like that, I think that's not broad enough. Is it just me? I reckon they'd have to maybe make a skill like dark magic, like put prayer, magic, and, I don't know, summoning together or something. Because some of the skills they mentioned just aren't enough. Have you guys had any more ideas of elite skills? If you can't tell, I'm pretty pumped for Inventor. That's all today. Oh, also just did my first Araxor kill. It took me about 20 goes, 20 deaths. Finally there. I am so happy right now. Peace out.
And I'm happy for you. It's awesome.
That's good. I gave up on Araxor. But livestock skill, farming, summoning, and construction?
Farming.
I think that'd be interesting, but you'd need to know what are we going to do with it. If that kind of thing could pop up, then sure. But I think there's a lot better ones to do first, like Inventor, obviously. That one's definitely got to be done. Same thing goes for Necromancy, that as well.
Yeah, I don't think that Necromancy is that useless or it doesn't have a following, because you do have magic and you do have divination along with prayer, and I think they would go pretty good together.
Yeah, and you know, back in the day in RS Classic, like way back in the day, there was actually dark magic in RuneScape, believe it or not.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys remember that.
I don't recall what it was. I recall
the closest thing now is Ancients.
Yep. And you would basically have two magic skills back then, and they would both be used for different things. And it was essentially the splitting up between combat and non-combat magic. So they could bring back dark magic. That'd be a good throwback to the olden days. But for me, Inventor, that's the one I'd be most interested in as well. As long as there's just the caveat of, okay, let's not forget about smithing, because Inventor's nice and it's a great idea, but let's not forget quality of life about smithing. Smithing is one of the earliest skills. It needs to be taken care of. So.
Yep.
Well, any other elite skills you guys would like to see? Sailing?
Nuclear bomb making ability.
There's not enough ocean for sailing now. Tuska's
nuclear
body kind of took up a bunch of it.
Yeah, that's true. How would you get nuclear bomb-making abilities?
Well, you see, just like in Civilization, you have to work up your tech tree.
Yeah.
Through Inventor.
I've been playing too much Fallout, because I was just going to say, oh, you just use the explosive skill. It's already there. But then I remembered that we're not talking about Fallout. Herblore, and I mean, it wouldn't be an actual nuclear bomb. Probably. It'd be like magical nuclear.
So you could almost call it like a ballistic skill or something.
Nuclear bomb making ability.
Yeah. Yeah, then you have half the world on you putting sanctions.
Or you're putting sanctions on other nations, but that's a topic for another show, Shane.
Absolutely. All right, so before we go, real skills, yes, no, or are we good?
Yeah.
That's completely serious.
They should totally do something for Constitution, though, like a healer skill.
Yes. But that might be Saren's spell, so let's just wait and see. I would like a healing skill. Alrighty, text questions. I'll read the first one. This one is from Thieves. Hey guys, if and when we can use construction on the surface world, what would you build and where would you build it? And number two, what have you achieved in game that you're most proud of? Those are from Thieves. So, back to surface construction. I think the number one thing for me that comes into mind is portable greenhouses.
Oh my god.
Well, I mean, putting the farming skill in places where it doesn't exist already, right?
You could just go build somewhere in a forest, right, Shane?
Yeah, and then there'd be certain benefits for doing that, or there'd be certain benefits for doing it on the rooftops in various cities like Varrock and Falador, you know? And then you could even have certain plants that grow underground and don't need sunlight. That's a good idea. I had no idea there was such promise in that. Anyways, what would you guys want to build?
Man, look at me. I make great ideas. Good job, me.
Well, we worked on that together, but yes.
I would build a settlement in looking at the world map, what appears to be the only place where there aren't a bunch of people.
The desert.
No. That bit between Piscataurus and Eagle's Peak. Could build one there, or I could build one south east of Relica.
Okay. So you'd basically end up having little longhouses that you can rent out to NPCs passing by?
No, it'd be a fort where I could... It would be called Fort Kickass.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Your authority would not be recognized there. By the way, Shane.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Your authority is not recognized in Fort Kickass.
Could we put some portable greenhouses up?
Only if I can burn them.
No. I'll give you a commission, though.
No. You'll give me a commission?
Yeah, I'll give you a commission.
Don't want
if you
your
let
pot,
me put
them up. Shane.
I'll give you 20%
don't
of whatever
want your
the
pot.
Yield. 20%.
Keep your pot away from me.
25.
I don't think Gillenor has legalized marijuana yet.
25% commission.
No.
30.
100, and you go
33.
Away forever.
33.
No. 33? No. Yeah.
Forget
no.
that. Okay, Mr. Bistro, what would you build?
Well, construction spot on the surface world. I'd probably build, like, a player-owned shop. Almost like, I don't know, maybe like a blacksmith thing where people on your friends list could, like, go to a shop, you could meet up, and you could repair their armor for them for cost. That'd be kind of cool.
And maybe you could loan out your armor, like dry gores and whips and whatnot.
Yeah, for a price.
Mm-hmm.
And
you could take some money off that, bring it back to you.
What have you achieved in game that you're most proud of? Maxcape.
All right.
Enough said. That took 10 plus years now.
I am not maxing anytime soon. How about you, Earth?
Oh, the thing I had the most trouble with was beating Nomad, so probably getting my quest cape.
All right.
I didn't even use food for Nomad. I really wish I had fought him
you
before.
You did it after EOC.
Yeah, I wish I'd fought him before EOC.
It was a pain in the ass, let me tell ya.
Yeah.
Young people these days.
Earth got angry when he fought Nomad.
I did get angry, yes, because I got him down to like 10% health. Like, I've never even seen that cutscene because I had a spirit Kayet with me, and it dealt the last blow right as I died. So it counted as a win for me. But, like, I died, so I never got to see the cutscene. But the quest proceeded.
Oh, that's so unfortunate.
Meh. It's all right.
Yeah. My biggest achievement comes in two forms. And the number one would be the continued persistence on the way to getting 120 farming. I'm already at 81 million XP gained. But in addition, or aside from all things farming related, I would have to say it would be beating three people in a race to 99 agility. I beat Chief Snake Brad and Bib User to 99 agility. It was a three-way race, and I ended up winning, and that was very good.
And that was very good.
Yeah, because, I mean...
Well said, Shane.
Anyone who's ever, you know, raced with me on RuneScape for a skill milestone or anything knows I get very competitive, and I look for all kinds of advantages that exist, even though they might not be totally legal. No, I've never cheated in a Skill of the Month competition.
And when Divination
you gave
came
me
out,
like 2 hours notice for an impromptu farming competition after you had already planted three spirit trees and shit. How is that not cheating?
Okay. It wasn't supposed to be official, but yeah.
When Divination came out, my buddy even put videos up on my channel. He was... I think he got all the way up to 13th on the divination board.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he went almost 3 days straight.
Oh, it's so painful.
Like,
so painful.
Yeah. No sleep?
He did power naps, and we had to pretty much be there to wake him up so he'd keep going.
Oh, my God.
That does not seem healthy.
You know, he documented... like every 10 hours. it was pretty awesome, especially because he screenshotted himself like on the front page of the divination boards, and I've never known someone personally that's done that, so that's pretty cool.
All right, well, there's a third party achievement. Who wants to read the last question?
Mr. Bistro, you can have it.
Okay,
as the guest.
This one comes from Anders V. Hey guys, Anders here. So Raids came out this week, and not only has it got me excited, but now for the future endgame content. I was just wondering what you think about the loot, and how Jagex is dealing with it in Raids, and how they should go through in the future Raids. Personally, I hope they either use up every level in between 90 and 99, or maybe in the next raid, you upgrade your T90 armor to T92 armor so that nothing goes over 90, but you still feel like your character's getting stronger. Thoughts? Thanks. Smiley face.
I'm just going to put this out there and say that I think there should have been a skilling component involved in the raid's armor. Just like there's a skilling component involved in the level 90 power armor.
I can see them adding another set effect to the superior armor. So in the T92 armor, it's not necessarily in the effect that they would get stronger, but they'd have an additional effect added onto them. But I can also definitely see more abilities coming out with it.
Yeah, and I mean... All in all, I think that's a good thing to do, but Jagex just needs to be really, really careful that they don't end up in a situation where they're creating power creep. That is, you have a set of armor that does something very similar to what something else does in-game. So that's something that needs to be watched going forward. But I do like the idea of, you know, leveling up armor as you go, so it becomes tier 92, for example, and the armor stays with you as you move on. And also, when you do ultimately do this, it does create a longer form of progression. Because, as we all know, if we went straight from 90 to 95, the question would be, okay, 5 years from now, what kind of armor is going to come out? So I like the idea that Anders has here.
Yeah, so I just linked you to a mod for Fallout New Vegas, and it's called Signature Armor. And what this does is, at the beginning of the game, you put on some armor, or even just like a suit or something, like a business suit. And as you go through the game, it levels up with you, but it takes 10% of the experience you gain.
Okay.
And, like, that levels that up. So I think that's kind of what he's going for.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could even do a mechanic like that without resorting to invention.
Yeah. I mean, you just take a 10% XP penalty, and then, like, you can take any armor and make it better. So, like, and I mean, like, a suit obviously doesn't have as much... It wouldn't protect you nearly as much as, like, a big thing of metal armor, right? So, and what this does is, the better the base armor, there's a multiplier on it. So, like, you have just a suit or something, it'll be, like, say 200 experience to cost. But then you have something that's really great, it'll be like 400, for example.
Okay.
But since, like, he's talking about with T90 armors, I think it would be best if they just put in a base rate.
I agree. And what would you start it at? Like 75, 70?
I don't know.
Because if you started at 90, that's kind of high. But at the same time, if you did 50, that would work. Or 75, so. But I like this idea. Is this what you'd go with?
Yes.
All right.
The thing I suggested, I would
go
with
that. Okay. Like you said, it is kind of in line with what Anders said. And this is a little bit kind of like the Mark Infinity stuff in Star Trek Online, but nowhere near as detailed. Mm. So, but good idea. Good ideas all around. But yeah, Anders, we definitely got to focus on the stuff in between 90 and 95. Otherwise, we're going to run out of tiers to put stuff in, and things will become way, way overpowered. All right. Well, that's it for questions this week, everyone. If you want to send us questions, you can email them, hopefully, to questions@rsbnb.com. I say hopefully, seeing as we did have a few email issues this week, it seems, though I'm not sure whose side that was on. But if you don't want to do that, just send us a voicemail to the Google Voice number, which is 571-57-BNB or 571-572-2632. And you can also send text messages to that number. And that is precisely how Anders got his question to us. So send us text messages. That's a very easy way to get your questions in.
Yay.
It really is these days when you think about it, right? Because everyone's got a phone and everyone should have some level of text message capability, right?
Mostly.
Yeah, mostly. So... send us your questions via text message. We like that. Alrighty, so moving on to tech news. Mozilla has taken the proactive step earlier in the week of blocking Flash on older versions of the software. So basically, if you're running a vulnerable version of Flash in Firefox, Mozilla will block it due to security risks. And once Flash is upgraded, it will become unblocked. You know, Apple's been doing this for quite some time to keep Safari users safe with various plugins. And Chrome actually includes their own version of Flash to prevent these kind of things from happening. So I think it's really good that Mozilla did this, and it kind of signals the sign of the times as to where we are. I don't know about you guys, but I run with Flash Off.
I have an extension called Flash Block.
Okay.
So it blocks it by default, but if for some reason I need it, I can enable it.
Yeah, and I mean, websites that have Flash that offer non-Flash variants these days are almost always faster without it, I find.
Yeah. I heard this throughout the office this week. So, it's good.
Yeah, and, I mean, Firefox didn't do this in the past, but gotta give him credit for that. And I guess Firefox is doing some things right, even though they're not on top anymore of the browser market. I mean, I only know one or two people who use Firefox. Everyone else I know uses Chrome, so that's just why I say that.
But, does anyone use Waterfox?
Isn't it Ice Weasel?
I don't know if it changed. It's the 64-bit.
Ice Weasel is the Debian version. What's Waterfox?
It's the 64-bit version of Firefox.
Oh.
It doesn't automatically install that?
No, it actually doesn't.
What's wrong
really?
With
that? Yeah. My Chrome's been 64-bit for a long time.
I just assume mine is 64-bit.
You can go to
help it have
about
the
Chrome.
Star... Ah! Ah. Ah. Yes. 64.
Good. All right. Next piece of tech news is a follow-up from last week's Reddit piece. Reddit has a new CEO cracking down on all types of posts published. So basically anything that devolves private data or incites violence or hate isn't going to go anymore on the website. So it's no longer 100%, you know, have at it, everything going on there. But they are bringing some limitations in, which is ultimately a very good thing, I think. And tell them what you said in pre-show, Earth, about this.
What, me?
What? Sorry, I tuned you out because you're talking about Reddit. Oh. I've had enough of you talking about Reddit for about 16 lifetimes.
All right. Well, what did you say in the pre-show about me and this?
That I'm annoyed of you talking about Reddit all of the time?
Oh, okay. But you also did say that this is what I've been calling for years.
Oh, okay. I guess I did say that.
I don't know. We'll see. But it had to happen, whether or not the community accepts it and allows or continues using the website remains to be seen. But...
I think Reed just died.
Yeah, any closing remarks on this one?
Yes.
All right.
All right, I'm done. Let's go.
All right. Anything from you, Mr. Bistro?
Not really. Just gotta stay up to date.
That's yep. It. And it's like keeping out of the bad, what are those things called? Subgroups of your city. Yeah. Neighborhoods. Stay out of neighborhoods.
I'm sure the past CEO found a nice home at 4chan where they could continue to not care.
Okay.
I think we should all move to 4chan, right, Mr. Bistro?
If people are brave enough.
No. No.
No. No. Not 4chan.
Absolutely
not. Reddit.
Not. No.
Use Dig, everyone.
Yes. And with that being said, let's talk about the New Horizons mission that finally got to Pluto after 9 long years.
Yeah, I wouldn't really call it new anymore.
Oh, that's a good one. But this mission was actually cheap, believe it or not. It was something like only $270 million to get it going.
Only.
Well, yeah, compared to most other space missions that are in the billions, right?
I guess.
Yeah, they duct taped a GoPro to a weather balloon and just let it float on over there.
And they were, what, like 30 seconds early? Isn't that what they said? No? No what? One knows what I'm talking
no.
about?
What are you talking about?
All right, calm your tits. Let me go to space.reddit.com. so I can figure out where I saw that.
Okay.
Go on, tell the listeners about it while I search.
Well, basically, this probe launched in 2006, and it took a route that took it in a gravitational slingshot around Jupiter to build up speed. One of the fastest space objects we've ever launched. It has a variety of instruments on it, including Ralph, Alex, Rex, Laurie, Swap, Pepsi, and SDC.
Pepsi?
Wait, what?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm just giving the acronyms, actually. But they make them sound like people. Ralph is the visible and infrared imager and spectrometer. Alice is the ultraviolet spectrometer. Rex measures atmospheric composition and temperatures. Laurie is the telescopic camera. SWAP is the solar wind and plasma spectrometer. Pepsi is the energetic particle spectrometer. And the SDC is the student dust collector.
Shake up the Pepsi bottle and crack open the top and it goes a little bit faster.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of things that on there that spacecraft can do. The student dust collector measures the space dust peppering on the horizons during its voyage across the solar system. It's always interesting when they include student projects on there. But nonetheless, it so far has returned a great number of images and resources from way far out there, such as, you know, we actually do have a real picture of what Pluto looks like. And it looks nothing like people were expecting in the fact that its surface is young. And there's actually mountains on it.
I'm sure the scientists that said it's not a planet anymore are feeling pretty bad today.
Yeah, I hope they do.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was just supposed to be this dead object, but, I mean, if you have things that are less than 100 million years old, that's kind of young in geologic time. So, also, an interesting thing about this is that they were able to learn more about actually all the moons that were there, too. So, what previously appeared as just blobs.
Wasn't a Mass Effect relay.
I'm sorry?
You don't worry about it, Shane.
Oh, right, Mass Effect.
Yes.
Okay.
It wasn't a mass relay. Disappointing.
Ah, I see. All right. But so we were anyway, 72 seconds early.
Hey! My story!
Okay.
So what I was talking about earlier, so they traveled for 10 years, and they were 72 seconds. They were there 72 seconds earlier than they expected to be. Which I would say is pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. And they had a targeted accuracy of 2 minutes. Well, a two-minute time window.
No, that's just the guy explaining it. And incorrect because 2 minutes is significantly more than 72 seconds.
That's right.
See, this is why this is my story and not your story.
Yeah, well, I'm just reading what's here, so...
It's my story.
Anyways. Okay, what else?
That was
What else about it? All right. All right, and there's one more thing on the whole Pluto story. And, I mean, just the fact that this thing is out there from so long ago and it's been frozen really means that there is the ability to look at and take readings from an object that has existed since the beginning of our solar system, which is not an opportunity that we get every day. So space is good. And
except for when it kills you.
Yeah, it would if you went outside. But you guys see a heart on this picture?
What?
A heart on the Pluto picture.
Link.
I thought All I heard right. you say hard on.
Link.
What does that mean?
Nothing. Don't worry about it. Just give me the link. All right.
There's the image to the picture. You guys see a heart there?
No. I think you're crazy.
Yeah, well, the entire internet said there's a heart.
The entire internet.
Yeah, there was like massive
literally
agreement.
The entire internet.
Yeah, there was massive agreement that it's a heart.
Massive.
Yep.
The entire internet.
Indeed.
Wow.
Anyways, New Horizons, check it out, the images and the time lapse and what's coming next for it. So, in the meantime, skill of the month. The magic skill of the month. Tim is currently in first place with 4.5 million experience gained. Wow, indeed. Followed by Flash with 2.6 million experience gained.
Why am I still in fourth?
And third place, Metal Maniac 9 with 1 million XP gained.
Come on, guys. It's only 279,000 experience. I want Magic King, Lord Fast Wesley, Jaden, or Jam Andy. I want one of you to beat me. Do it.
I thought you were getting 99 magic this month.
Yeah, well, I've thought a lot of things in my time.
And some of them just don't happen, eh?
Hey, just like 99 farming. There's a reason I called it Operation Eventually.
Whereas I actually had a timetable and wanted to get it fast.
Yeah, but you know, I still have that nice green, untrimmed farm.
All right.
It's nice and green and untainted.
I want it. Anyways, just a little bit of extra competition news. Flash also beat Wolfie from Clan Quest by one experience in the cooking
skill. Oh, that was such a troll. I laughed really hard at that.
Because apparently at the time,
Flash,
Wolfie wasn't able to be on RS.
Huh.
But yeah, a 1 XP victory. Very amusing.
Is that a record?
No. We had a tie back in the day.
Well, yeah, but is that a record for someone beating someone? Has anyone ever won by 1 experience before?
No. No. So that is a record, I guess. Anyways, you can sign up for our current Skill of the Week competition, which is Dungeoneering. It begins on the 22nd and ends a week later, so you can find a link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com on where to sign up for that.
When does that
start? Be fun. The 22nd of July.
Okay. Sounds good, but it just gets in the way of something else.
Okay. Unfortunately, then. I'm seeing if I can get Trekkie to sign in, because he does Dungeoneering a lot, so might be interesting to see if he can pull out a win. All right. Let's move on to Achievements of the Week, then.
All right. Well, let's
first
see.
Up.
First off, Jesse Pinkman got 99 Constitution on July 12th, 2015. And the RR Man got 99 Summoning on July 12th, 2015.
Congratulations, both of you.
Jesse Pinkman. Better be blue,
that's Flash.
Bitch.
That's Flash, by the way. But yes.
Good job.
Alrighty.
Guys.
Yes. I like those two skills. Pick of the week. Who wants to go?
Yeah, Mr. Bistro, do you have one?
Haha. No.
No? Okay.
No, I don't.
All right. Because I know I already put mine up there, but just giving you one last chance.
Oh, I thought you were just kind of rubbing it in my face a little bit.
No, I'm not that mean to you.
I would do that.
I know.
Well, thanks, Shane.
See what I have to deal with? I don't get paid enough.
Okay, let's have a pick. All
right, so mine is Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox. This is a band, and the guy, Scott Bradley, actually did work on BioShock Infinite soundtrack. Like, there was that barbershop quartet version of the Beach Boys' God Only Knows, which was fantastic, by the way. He didn't work on that specific one, but it's that style of music. It's modern music, though, I mean, the Beach Boys, modern. It's modern music, but, like, in the style of, say, Ella Fitzgerald or Frank Sinatra. And there is a, you know me, fabulous cover of Taylor Swift's Blank Space that I highly recommend. And also there's a cover of Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child of Mine, which I swear to God is how it should have been. Like, I'm convinced that that's how it should be sung now. It's that good. It's the perfect blend of Ella Fitzgerald and Taylor Swift, two of my favorite artists of all time. So definitely check that out.
All right, and where can we find this?
I linked the iTunes for you, Shane.
Because all right, thank you.
As overlordy as Apple is, they do have the music market.
Yes, they do.
Which is quite unfortunate.
All right, sounds good. And, I mean, we can always count on you for a musical pick.
Indeed.
So, what have we been up to? Let's start with you, Mr. Bistro.
Well, besides raids, I'm trying to keep up to date on videos. work, really. It's my first week at a new company, my first real job out of college. And I'm just getting overloaded with so many different things, so many different structures, because I'm working for an e-commerce site now, and it's an eye-opening experience, and I'm really excited to start learning it all and be pretty good at it. So that's what I've been doing, really. I moved since I was last on the show, and yeah, that's everything.
All right, thank you very much for that. And you, Mr. Earth, how are you doing? What are you doing?
I am absolutely exhausted. I've been working this week, and I don't know, I've just been very, very tired.
All right. any RS or any amazing things happen this week?
Fallout.
Okay, let's not talk about that, please.
Why not?
I guess you can tell him.
Oh my god, I forgot about that!
Now,
so...
yeah, so you have been doing something this week. Tell them what's been amusing you.
I completely forgot about that. So, any of you who have come to our PC gaming events knows that I have our game servers set up with various Shane sound effects. So, like, you type something in the chat, and then he'll say something. And I figured, all right, we have so many sound effects, but we can just have a conversation. So what I did in Fallout, I created a companion that follows you around, helps you in combat, can carry your stuff just like a normal companion, and it's fully voiced by Shane.
Oh my god.
What about the part where it falls from the sky?
So I messed up somehow when I was setting a spawn point. So instead of spawning on the ground normally, Colonel Sanderson falls from a height of like 200 feet in the air whenever you send him back home. It's like you say, all right, I want you to go back to Good Springs and wait for me there. It says, okay, fades out, disappears. You look up, you see Colonel Sanderson just falling from the sky.
But yes, this is, if I was to assign one thing to Reed's week, this would be it. He would be...
Thank you for reminding me of that.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Fallout, and I assume that's what you were going for, and that's why I was like, oh, okay, let's get this over with.
I completely forgot that was this week. Thank you. I'll be putting that up on Nexus Mods at some point. It'll be a pick in the future. Don't you worry, listeners.
All right.
That is one of the sound effects. Colonel Sanderson goes, oh, God. Or, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, my turn now. This week on RS, I've been farming herbs and got 81 million farming XP. I checked out all the various things about raids and whatnot, but I really need to double down on the fundraising for that. And just been working on a few little secret things here and there. Maybe you guys might see them one day. I don't know if you will. But
One day.
One day. That's about it. I don't think there's anything else we need to mention on this episode of RSBNB Update, except for telling Mr. Bistro thank you for appearing and dedicating so much time to RuneScape combat to make us look like we actually know something.
Yeah, if you guys didn't notice, I have no idea how combat works in this game, so I thank you, Mr. Bistro.
Well, it's always good to be on the show.
Indeed.
We know how to do Slayer tasks and kill a few low-level bosses, but that's about it.
Yeah, I have trouble with, like, dark beasts, so...
Yeah. Well, you should definitely not try the Eru's, then. You do not want those for a Slayer task. Those are difficult. Those in the Kaldirian Demons and Celestial Dragons, maybe, as well.
Dragons
are
bad.
You gotta try the new Metal Dragons, though. Those are fun.
They were, I will say that much. They're not that bad. Anyways, thank you for listening, everyone. This has been RSBNB Update with the Lord Earth, the Divine. Lord Earth, the Divine. I believe that's your cue. That's your cue to say something, goodbye, or something.
Something, goodbye, something.
All right, and of course me, Shane12088. If you want to catch up with us, you can find us in our friends chat. Bits, bytes, or message either of us in-game. We will look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for sharing your listening time with us. We'll see
Goodbye,
you all
guys.
Next week.
Bye, friends. Come to PC Gaming Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Shane didn't mean to leave me out, but I still love you guys.
Bye.